I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Tottenham are back from the international break. They are back and they've taken all 3 points. I was led to believe that football is supposed to be a way of escaping from all the stuff that's going on in your life and everything like that. It's supposed to be sort of fun. That wasn't very fun, was it? We got the 3 points. It's important. But what a game that was. I mean, It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to... You can't really draw conclusions from this type of thing, can you? As I was saying before the game, there's no easy games in the Premier League. We say all this boring stuff, right? But... That wasn't very good. And look, do you know what? To be fair, though, in the interest of fairness here, the reason why this is difficult is because I'm coming at this from the perspective of Spurs should be turning up and walloping Luton. And as much as I don't think we played that well, Luton were actually really good. It's Rob Edwards, isn't it? Is it Robert or is that an old T4 presenter? Wait, hang on, who's... Luton. I mean, he looks like an old T4 presenter, doesn't he? Yeah, it is Rob Edwards. But wasn't there a Rob Edwards? Rob Edwards TV. There is a Rob Edwards TV. No, Rick Edwards. Sorry, there you go. Rick Edwards. They could be related, to be fair. They look quite similar. That's a complete side point. Luton were all right. Luton were pretty good. And they didn't make it easy for us by any stretch of the imagination. And I think we all saw that, didn't we? What we just saw there was a Tottenham team that's had to fight pretty hard to get there. Now, this might be me pulling punches on Spurs. I don't think anyone individually was, or I mean, I think Bissouma was quite bad. I'll say that. But in terms of like, I didn't really watch this and think anybody was undermining us. It seemed to be more of a systemic thing. It felt like we didn't really have anyone dictating the flow of like play for us. Sometimes we have Sarr kind of doing a little bit of that. Madison's supposed to be kind of the chief architect, if you like, of doing that. Came into the game a bit in the second half. But for a lot of that first half, we seemed pretty devoid of any ideas. I know this sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but I think this is something. I think it is a factor. Andros Townsend coming back to play against his old team. For the first 35 minutes, absolutely played his socks off and was pressing us like a madman and was breaking up a lot of our play, but also causing us a lot of problems as well, like in his offensive capacity. And sometimes when you just have one player that's on a mission like that, it can disrupt things a bit. Obviously, he then got knackered, and you know, he couldn't keep up that intensity for a whole match. But you know, he's coming back to the club that he loves, the club that you know brought him up, came through our academy. Pretty sure he's still a Spurs fan. Just wants to come back and kind of give it his all, play as best he can in front of the crowd. And he did that for a time, didn't he? But what is he? I mean, he's got to be in his 30s now, I think, Andros. So he wasn't going to keep that up all game. But that's not to, and again, that's not to sort of take away from what Luton had done, because they weren't, we've seen plenty of teams down the years, the Stokes, the West Broms, all of that, come to White Hart Lane, come to Tottenham, put up, you know, two banks of defence and just sit back and not do anything. they did that a little bit in the second half, let's be honest. Like, towards the end, they wanted to leave with a point at least. And fair enough to them, really. But for large parts of the game, Luton were knocking the ball about. They were actually playing, I don't want to say expansively, because I think that probably oversells it a bit. But I think they were playing with clear purpose. I think they looked like they've been very well trained, very well drilled. And they're playing some decent football. I think a lot of what they were doing was more inventive, more interesting than what Spurs were doing for a large part. I don't know. But like, I've been avoiding Twitter a bit. Because I don't know, I just sort of want to step away from it for a bit. And, well, personal circumstances and just in general. I was kind of feeling that before everything that's happened. And I sort of duck into it, and I saw sort of the conversation was all lack of plan B. He does have a plan B, he doesn't. And I don't know. What do we really know? You know, I mean, he made a big change at halftime, brought on Johnson, took off Kulusevski. Kulusevski, who obviously I'll talk about when I do the players individually, but I think people are reading a bit too much into it. I just think the lad looks knackered. He's been very dependable for us this season. And he's absolutely... You can't forget that sort of period when we had all those injuries and everything, how much he stepped up and how much sort of pressure and responsibility he shouldered. And he worked at 150% every single game. And it doesn't surprise... He just looks knackered, I think. I think there might be a bigger conversation about his actual role within the team, how much he actually fits within the team now. If he's not going to be playing in that number 10 role, is he really built to be an Ange Postecoglou winger? I'm not so sure. You have obviously now the coined phrase Nathan A. Clark talking about dribbly wingers. You can see that's very much what we're going for. Brought in Timo Werner, brought in Brennan Johnson very recently. It's clearly the kind of thing we want to go for. And yeah, I think Deki Kulusevski is pretty dribbly, isn't he? But is he a winger? Is he? I don't know. He might be in certain systems, but I think he's pretty good centrally. He digs deep. He doesn't have that explosive pace. As I've said on here, I think he is beguilingly quick, but it's not explosive pace. We'd never call it that, would we? And maybe that's kind of what we need more in this system. I think it's so reliant on, you know, you think about kind of players of like, you know, well, I mean, one of them's still playing now. Think about someone like Salah and Mane, right? That's the sort of thing we need now, isn't it? I mean, who doesn't? It's such a moot point, isn't it? What we need, I'll tell you, Ange Postecoglou, what we need is two of the greatest wingers that the Premier League's ever seen. Did you think of that, mate? Did you think of that? While you were scoffing your souvlaki. That's I hold my hands up there. That's a bit dodgy. That's dodgy ground. A bit Bernard Manning, that, from me. I apologise. Yeah, I don't know. I think, look, we've won. We've got the 3 points. It just, do you know what? The main thing I feel about today is, and yeah, I might be projecting my own feelings at the moment. So I own this, but I am basing this on other people, sort of, you know, when I've been talking to people during the game and stuff. It all felt a bit flat, didn't it? It all felt a bit flat. There's nothing like a goal in the opening minutes to sort of knock the stuffing out of a home support. And look, don't take. Yes, I know. I'm sat here in my back room doing a podcast. I'm not at the game. I haven't paid money. I know all this. I get it, right? I'm not having a dig at the support. I'm not saying you should be doing more of this. I'm just saying, right? Just objectively, the atmosphere, it felt a bit flat. It looked a little bit flat. Even when we were scoring the goals, the celebrations were a little bit, I hope everyone's all right. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that happens. Like, you know, as I was saying to Connor, it's what happens when you charge like £150 a ticket and get a stadium full of posh people that can afford to pay. sorry, I'm just, I'm just poking fun. We're allowed to do that now, right? We're allowed to do that. Or do you get locked up and thrown in jail? And that's the same for having a bit of fun nowadays. A few messages here. Seymour Shepherdson says, is Højbjerg the best bench player in the world? I mean, it's pretty mad, isn't it? Because I was watching Bissouma's performance for sort of large parts of today thinking, I know I always dig him out, but I'd quite like to see Højbjerg come on the pitch. Look, I mean, Bissouma, again, maybe one that we don't need to read too much into. The lad did get malaria, a month or so ago? So we don't really know the impact that's having on him right now. I remember how good he was at the very start of the season. I mean, it seems like a completely different player to the one that we're seeing right now, who, I don't know, just wasn't great for the first goal. He sort of got beaten, you know, let his man go pretty easily. Dragosin positioning was a little bit off. I think I'd probably be quite harsh to really, I'm not blaming him for that first goal, but still, I think Mickey van der Ven would have acted a tad more decisively in that spot. I think Dragosin was kind of caught in two minds, didn't really know what to do. And it was just, then it was all just a bit of a fart about in the box, wasn't it? And Luton capitalised, good on him. But Højbjerg, he did come on and he played well, didn't he? He was knocking the ball about pretty nicely. And it's the funny thing about Højbjerg, he does seem to be the type of player that, like, he will, like, make a lot of us who dig him out look like mugs, because he won't get played and there'll be, yeah, let's just say a celebratory kind of tone to the news. And then we'll play a bit crap and he'll come on and sort of do quite well. But it feels like Højbjerg is that type of player. And you can kind of get it from the way he talks and things like that in interviews and stuff. He's a combative man. You can see it from the way he plays. He's a combative man. I think he likes a challenge, right? And I sometimes can't help but feel that, like, when he starts games, just in terms of, like, COD, bloat down the pub psychology, right? When he starts games, it's almost like, job done. That's it. I've proven that I'm good enough to start in games. And that's when he puts in these sort of sloppy performances that just don't seem to be particularly great. When he's coming on like halfway through a game or say 60 minutes onwards, point to prove, he's been sat on the bench, probably getting wound up. And you saw him, he was doing a bit of the old Cristiano Ronaldo's. It's the only time I'll make that comparison. He was doing a bit of the old Cristiano Ronaldo's on the touchline when in the first half. I think he was shouting at Bissouma and just anybody really. He was telling them to move up, get in support the players at the front, support them. And I saw him, he kept like shouting, like gesturing for them to push up. And Andrew's probably thinking, sit down, you mug. It's my job. What are you telling them to do that for? I don't want them running up there. But you could tell he was sort of getting all wound up and everything. And then when he comes on, it's like he comes on halfway through, doesn't he? With a point to prove. He's like, I'll show them for leaving me off. And he concentrates, gets stuck into tackles well, knocks the ball about quite nicely and everything like that. But I never see that from him when he starts games. So rarely do I see that. He's such a weird player. But he was good today. And Bissouma wasn't particularly. Darren says Brennan Johnson. Again, I'm guessing that's a positive. It's literally just Brennan Johnson, Darren has said here. He's changed the game again, hasn't he? He's done it again. That Brennan Johnson. He's changed the game. He's come onto the pitch and, well, he's created the own goal, which, let's be honest, I think even Werner would probably struggle to miss that. But, yeah, that's not... just in case. And there was a few of those. There's a few almost carbon copies of that first goal that we got against Luton. After that point, largely because of, well, mainly because of what Brennan Johnson was doing. Links up very nicely with Pedro Porro. He is dynamic. He's kind of like, you know, the sort of moments of confidence loss that he had when he was playing regularly, consistently. And I was sort of sat on here being like, well, it's just a shame he wasn't really supposed to be playing this much. And I think there's too much pressure on him because all that type of thing. And it feels like now he is kind of do. I'm not trying to be like, I saw it right. I guess I probably am a bit. But it feels like now there's sort of less pressure on him to have to perform because he's starting every game. When he's kind of coming in and making a bit of a difference, this, I feel like this is the player that we signed. This is what we signed him for now. For now, to get more used to the team, to get more used to the way we play football. Without that expectation of you're starting games, you have to make a difference here. And it's not to say, I mean, because I know some people say, well, that's ridiculous because, what, so you're saying that there's not pressure coming off the bench? But I think it's slightly different, isn't it? It's slightly different. It's kind of like this is, when you're entering that sort of, when you're entering the game state as it is, you kind of, you get what's going on, right? You know what Luton are doing. You know what you have to kind of do to unlock them to a degree. Where to go for them. I'm sure the manager and the players themselves will have learned things as the game has progressed. When you start in a game, there's a lot of kind of variables to that. And I think when you are a new sort of young player, you're carrying a big price tag, you're trying to get used to a new pitch, a new area, your new house. Oh, I don't like the taps in my new house. They drip at night and they keep me awake. You know, this can happen, right? They're not immune to that type of stuff, footballers. Dripping taps, keeping them awake at night. Like, that could be it. Now he's got his plumber in. He's good, isn't he? He's exciting enough. Spurs Simpsons, hello mate. Is Decky now a backup number 10? He could be, couldn't he? He could be. It's hard to know, isn't it? But I do. Alan Leslie, thought we were really disjointed first half. Why can't we just play well first half? We were again, aren't we? This seems to be kind of a characteristic of this person. I don't think it's intentional. I don't think it's some kind of grand plan to rope-a-dope them to let's play sort of meh in the first half and then really go for it the second half. I don't really get it. Maybe teams go for Spurs. If you are just sort of thinking about this, people know we play this expansive football. They know they can probably get at Spurs. So they're thinking, right, well, let's stop them from playing their game. We'll go at them. We'll run at Spurs. We know we can press them. We know we can force them into making mistakes, to not being able to play the way they want to play. But then other teams get knackered out because we're built to. I mean, the team is being assembled in the manager's like image, right? I mean, not in his literal image, but you know what I'm saying? Like in the way he wants us to play in this sort of combative, fast, quick, fluid fashion. And that's reflected in the signings that we're making. It's reflected in the type of players that we're linked to consistently. And I think it's hard for a lot of teams to keep up with that. So I think maybe they come in with the best of intentions of stifle Spurs, stop them, go at them, press them. They don't like it, up them, that type of thing. And then we can just sort of capitalise on that second half when they're knackered. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's as simple as that. I don't know. Chunky Chef says, the doggy's gone off the boil a bit. I don't know. Do you reckon? I'm not sure. It's not something like, it's genuinely not something I noticed, but I thought he was still pretty decent today. I've got to say, I thought that Mengi, who was playing for Luton, I think he's on loan from United. But like strong, tall, quick centre back, seemed to read the game pretty well, was absolutely kind of, he's a young player, and it felt like he was the absolute sort of rock at the back there, orchestrating like Luton's defence. He seemed like he's got a real head on his shoulders, as well as the physical attributes. And he looked to me like a real sort of Ange centre back. And he won that foot race with a doggy. And there's very few players. He won a foot race with him and muscled him off the ball in that first half. Very few players that do that to a doggy, aren't there? I like the look of him, though. I thought he looked really good. Obviously, there's not a chance of us getting him from... I'm pretty sure he's on loan from United. Ted Mengi. accept and continue. Da, da, da. Oh, no. No, no. Luton signed him for 2 million. 2 million euros. I mean, this is transfer market, so it might be 2 million pounds, and they just use euros because it's a German website, isn't it? But 2 million. What a steal. I reckon they can probably get a fair few quid for him. Let's see what transfer market are saying. 12 million, they're saying market value right now. Good player. I liked him. I really liked him. He did look to me like an Ange centre back. So we go. Brian Park says a doggy would be elite if only he knew how to pick a pass in the final third. I mean, to be fair, Brian, like, I think he's very young, isn't he? He's got a lot to his game already. He's still got kind of, hopefully, levels to go up. So if that's something he can incorporate into his game and get, I don't think it's terrible. I know what you mean. I know his passing isn't sort of ideal at all times, but he is more of a defensive player, isn't he? Spurs Simpson says, yeah, Mengi is permanent at Luton. Yeah, I'd definitely make a cheeky bid. If they go down, I'd definitely be making a cheeky bid. Why do people say cheeky? Cheeky. It's just become, I say it myself, cheeky. I like to say cheeky Nando's, ironically. Oh, aren't I ironic? Hey, look at me. I'm so dry. What satire? I say cheeky Nando's, but I don't actually mean cheeky Nando's. What I'm saying is, ha 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 ha, people say cheeky Nando's, and I'm going to say cheeky Nando's, but I'm not actually saying cheeky Nando's. I'm saying cheeky Nando's. Ha ha. Yeah, funny. Aren't you smart? Looking down on people. Condescending prick. But yeah, let's make a cheeky bid for him. But I don't get it. I don't know why that has become a thing. Cheeky. Don't get it. Cheeky girls. Remember them? That's one for the Gen Zs, that. I'm drinking some. That's for you, Richie. Drinking water like an animal. Much love, brother. Cook past Tim. Hello, mate. Old face there. How's it going? I think the atmosphere is caused by how we've been. There's so many positives over the last few years, but we concede chances, so how confident can you be? Yeah, and I think in it, like the Tottenham Hotspur supporting experience now, I was thinking, because I was sort of saying this, I'm totally like a plastic to it. I really got into the darts like the past couple of years, and it's really been kind of pushed by Luke Littler coming in, you know, this whole narrative, the story behind him is, but it's acted. I'm not just like a Luke Littler ultra. I got very invested in it during the World Championships over Christmas because I found it all very intriguing, very interesting. But I've been watching the Premier League ever since now, and I'm sort of really into many of the players and stuff. And the thing that I've enjoyed about it is it's quite a simple game. It's quite fun. I like the personalities, all that type of thing. But it's quite fun to watch, like a sport. I mean, I will call it a sport. I will. It's got to be hope for us larger gentlemen that we can be considered sports. Is podcasting a sport? If it is, right? If it is, I'm not Lionel Messi. That's like, I don't know. No, I'm not blowing smoke up anyone's. I'm going to say, I'm probably like, I think in terms of podcasting, if I'm a sportsman as a podcaster, I'm like, and again, this is a reference to all the young kids. I think I'm like one of those journeyman footballers that would play in the lower leagues, that you'd sign on Football Manager or Championship Manager back in the day. If you're playing for like, if you're sort of doing a Division One Championship, as you call it now, game to try and get a team back in. I always used to like, it's a tangent, but I always used to like playing as Nottingham Forest in the old Championship Managers way back, to try and get them back up into the sort of Premier League, rekindle the glory days of winning all the European trophies and everything like that. One of the players I always used to get was Jeff Pitcher, because I sort of grew up a little, not too far away from Kingstonian where they played, and I used to go and watch them a bit as well when I was growing up. And there was this lad, I've spoken about him on here before, but Jeff Pitcher was just, he was levels above everyone in the sort of conference. So I think it was the Vauxhall Conference Kingstonian were in back then. And they had this fellow, Jeff Pitcher, who I'd be sort of in my sort of naive, childish brain. I was like, he could play in the Premier League. He could be amazing. And he did get a move to Brighton when they were in League One. So it would have been Division Two then, League One. And I think he did quite well. I think he was all right for them. But that sort of, you know, we talk about sort of levels that players have to go up and it's mad. But I remember him standing out as being like absolutely unbelievable, right? But it was still kind of in a dross kind of team, really. That's me. In the dross field, basically. Unbelievable. I'm like, I'm sat atop the pile of shit, right? And that's the smoke I blow up my own ass. But what we're talking about, Tottenham, I can't even remember how I got there. I really can't. But Tim, yeah, mate, I think Spurs, yeah, everything's on a knife edge. Darts, this, that, yeah, darts. So darts I can enjoy because, here we go, you've missed these. Don't tell me you haven't missed these. Don't tell me you haven't missed these tangential pieces of shit podcasts. I can't even say tangential. I don't know, whatever. Me, it wouldn't be one of my podcasts if I wasn't mispronouncing something. Oh, there I am. You having a laugh? What the fuck am I going on about? Darts. It's fun because you can just watch it and you're not emotionally invested in it. If Luke Littler doesn't win, oh well, next week, doesn't matter. If he doesn't win, that fucking Van Gerwen or Luke Humphreys, who is absolutely insanely good, by the way, Luke Humphreys. I know he's got zero chat, zero source, and I don't like people booing him, man. I feel bad for him, man. He's clearly quite a sensitive. I'm trying to do cod psychology, but he's spoken about his mental health before. He's clearly a sensitive guy. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not having a dig about that. He's quite a withdrawn character. And it just so happens to him that his skill set is in such a boisterous kind of atmosphere and everything like that. But he's class. He is unreal. But darts, you can just watch it and appreciate it and enjoy it. Tottenham Hotspur football, there's just so much resting on it. There's so much like emotional investment in everything that we're doing, isn't there, now? Because we're just in that place. Again, we're in that place where football isn't as fun really anymore because we're so close to doing something, but we're also so close to just getting roundly mugged off all the time. We lose to Luton today and it's just a fucking nightmare, isn't it? You know, if we didn't even get the 3 points today, it's a fucking nightmare. It just is, because Arsenal are fucking pissing all over everything. If they beat City tomorrow, they're probably going to go and win the league, let's be honest. And I'm really worried about them in the Champions League as well. They're taking the piss. They're looking really good. And with us, it's just like, because we talked ourselves up so much at the start, could we, would we? And it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. There was a little bit of us that felt it as well, didn't we? And so there is that pressure, there is that expectation, and there is expectation. We can't say there isn't, because there is expectation. We all turned up today. I mean, Spurs in general, I mean, I didn't turn up. Look, you know, I'm here. But we all sort of thought Spurs were just going to roll Luton over, easy peasy. And we did expect this. That is expectation. That's what comes with being a club with a big shiny stadium. It's going to build a big massive hotel and aren't going to sign any more players because we're going to have to accept the economic realities that Tottenham Hotspur currently find themselves in. Protests, honestly, if it happens. I will go full green and gold. That's United, isn't it? Getting the Norwich scarves out. Purple, whatever it is, purple and gold. If we stop buying players again because of building fucking hotels, but we'll save that one for another day. Spurs Simpson, I need to move on from this, don't I? Spurs Simpson says, we can still laugh at Chelsea lost. I'm just having a look now. Spurs Simpson says, at least we can laugh at Chelsea. Premier League fixtures. No. 2-2. Well, it's still 2-2 at home is bad, isn't it? Burnley, 10-man Burnley as well. Cole Palmer, too, got to Cole. I know people don't like him. People sort of aren't fond of his personality, but Cole Palmer's a hell of a player as well, man. Hell of a player. I would really, really, really like to have him playing for Tottenham. I mean, I think he's actually kind of similar to Kulusevski, really. I think they're sort of similar players, a similar skill set. Dare I say Cole Palmer looks a bit better, though? Just saying. Just a little bit, maybe. Let's do some more questions. Benedict Fox, we love you, man. Thank you, mate. Love you too. Michael Anderson says, I'm the Hoybier of podcasting. That cuts deep, mate. That cuts deep. Snake, the cheeky girls once cut the ribbon at my co-op. Mate, that is rural Britain. That is Britain. What does it mean to be British? It's that. A Z-list celebrity cutting or turning on the Christmas lights or cutting the ribbon at your local co-op. Like, do you know what I mean? Pictured at the local Wimpy holding a burger for the local paper, that type of thing. EM315, the episode you started with the Bullseye theme was incredible. Good. Yeah, because that was around the time when, I think, was it the Arsenal game? After doing all that? No, it was after we beat Brentford because of Malpay doing the thing. Bullseye, man, what a show that was. I used to love that as a kid growing up. Although, I'll tell you something, the cartoon bull in Bullseye. And if you're too young to remember, just like Google, like YouTube. God, that's well, Dad, isn't it? YouTube search for Bullseye 80s darts. And you can just get a glimpse at kind of like primetime weekend British television. But there used to be this mascot, and he was called Bully, this cartoon bull, that when people would hit certain points and things would make this like noise, used to scare the shit out of me as a kid. When he'd come on all red-faced and all the sort of smoke had come out of his nose and he'd make the noises, it fucking terrified me. Honestly, look, I was about 4 or 5 when it was on the TV, but I just remember that being seared into my head. But there you go. Phil Mayo says, Luton flat are deceived today. They were awful. Result could have easily been 5-1, but for the post. We did roll them over, tripled them up on XG. I don't know, Phil. Do you reckon? XG, right? You can prove anything with facts, can't you? It's contentious. XG is contentious. I don't dismiss it as much as many. I'm very much on the fence of XG. I wouldn't hold XG aloft in this way to say we were way better than them because we won the XG. That's where I kind of deviate from the sort of XG conversation. I don't hold it up that high. I think we definitely enjoyed the lion's share of possession in the second half and created most opportunities, but I still think we didn't bother them that much. Although in saying that, the goal line decision, man, what? Like, the fact that, or even the commentators, and that's the closest goal line decision they'd ever seen, is very, very Tottenham Hotspur. Very, very Tottenham Hotspur. It was mad. I was sure it had gone over. I'd celebrated it. And it wasn't even like a V. It was like, oh, what? How is that not? It was kind of that, the goal sort of not coming over the line. That was like watching football back in the day, wouldn't it? Darren says, what happens to the skull? Yeah, I know. What does happen to the skull? I mean, I guess they've probably done the cost, haven't they? And thought, well, you know, Skywalk is worth this much and having big hotels is worth this much. Maybe you'll get to abseil down the towers. Do you know what I mean? So don't think about that. UKIP scarf for Spurs. It is UKIP, isn't it? Actually purple and gold. I'm not really... It is a bit. Phil Mayo, both of Burnley's goals came after sending off. That's just going back to the Chelsea thing. That's quite funny, that, isn't it? 0.89 XG for the goal that didn't quite go over the line from Devonshire Hill lad. I don't know. I don't get it. Sorry. I don't understand that enough. I'm crap. I used to like playing Texas Hold'em poker. Love it. I'm all right at it, but I'm not a mathsy poker player. And that's where, when I started trying to play in casinos a bit more, there used to be a poker club in London, Gutshot Poker, which was good. It was a good laugh, and it got shut down because of, I don't know, there's British rules about gambling and all this type of thing, that it had to be consigned to casinos. It couldn't be done in private members clubs or something like that. I can't remember. But I used to like playing there. I used to like playing in the kind of like the tournament games and things like that, because the tournament games, Texas Hold'em, was a bit more about emotion. It was a bit more about reading your opponents and just getting the luck, and also just being able to sort of like have a, you know, you've got to have a basic grasp on kind of your odds in a way when you're playing it. But then when I tried to play cash games at casinos a bit, especially like up in London, I thought, I remember in like my early 20s getting paid and being like, right, I'm taking like 200 quid up central London, get cash it in and last in about fucking 10 minutes in cash games, because there's people there, it's not emotional at all, it's all maths, it's everyone knows the probably they memorize and know the exact odds of all of their cards. Cash games are just way different game. And I cannot grasp numbers in that way, and that's maybe why I sort of rage against XG a bit as well. I don't rage against XG. I'm not here like, well, I mean, I'm a bit red-faced. I'm not actually as red-faced as I look in this. It's this fucking light thing. Look, there's different modes on this. Sorry for anyone listening to this. Look, this one's like a pale one, and then this paler one, and then this kind of golden one, right? See that? I can turn it down a bit, but then it gets all grainy. But as you can see, look, not actually... red face, it's just this thing. I always turn this on and I'm like, I look like fucking Alan Brazil in this thing. If you are listening to the podcast, YouTube, I do stream these live on YouTube after the game, immediately after, so do that, come and have a chat, have a two-way dialogue, as you see, as many of these lovely responders have done today. Can have a chat. Giuliano Vicario, is it just me? Right, let's do the players. So it's easier for me to say, let's do the players, because then I know where to put the break in. So let's do the players.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right. Giuliano Vicario. Is it just me, or is this one of the first games since his early Tottenham career where I thought, it's very good, but this looks a little wobbly in places. I don't know, just there were a couple of little moments when I thought he sort of spilled the ball a bit, didn't look quite as comfortable, claiming balls, looked like he was kind of labouring to... There was that one, I think it was Ross Barkley. I can't remember when abouts it was in the game. Ross Barkley had a shot from distance, really. And I think it took Vicario. I think Vicario was kind of wrong-footed because Barkley hit it with his left foot. It was quite smart of him. I didn't realise he could use both feet, but apparently he can, according to the commentator anyway. And he hit it with his left foot. So I do think maybe Vicario's weight was sort of balanced, but it looked like he almost sneaked past him, almost. He did get down and he got there. So fair play to him. But I don't know. This is like feelings, right? And the feeling was that Vicario, he just felt a little bit wobbly today. Just a little bit. Maybe it's just from playing internationally. Like was it a debut for Italy or a debut start? Something like that in the week. So fair play, number one. And I'm sure he's fine. I'm not worried about Vicario. It's hard to talk about him because generally most weeks it's Vicario's amazing. His distribution's great. His saves are great. He's commanding. He's an awesome goalkeeper. All of this is true. The only thing I'm saying is today, I was just like, was he a little bit wobbly? That was it. Destiny Adogi, I thought was good today. Who was it that said to me about a doggy earlier? Chunky Chef said, yeah, he's gone off the boil a bit. I don't know if I'd say he's gone off the boil. I think maybe just the amount of game time he's had. Very young player. Maybe it's just, and he's such a physical player as well, right? He gets up and down the wing. Like, he's up and down. I'd be very interested to see. I mean, I wouldn't be that interested. I say very interested. I wouldn't be that. I'm like, do you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit and study it. But as a passing interest, it would be, you know, something to see one of his heat maps, because he must cover a lot of ground every single game. And so maybe just there's a bit of a cumulative fatigue there, and he's just young, isn't he, man? Like, he's just a young player. So I don't think he's gone off the ball. I think he's unreal, to be honest. Radu Dragusin did well for most of the game, I thought. It wasn't really called into action too often. As I said at the top, I do feel like he... Maybe Mickey van der Ven would have acted a bit more decisively ahead of Luton's first goal, but that's probably a bit harsh. One thing I did like about Dragusin today is him coming out, moving the ball forwards in the way that Romero does as well, kind of being that link, getting the like building from the back and everything like that. I think his passing isn't that clean, maybe needs a bit of work. I don't think he hits it that cleanly, but he's a young player and he's trying things. And I think his most importantly, his vision's quite good, because I think the type of passes he was attempting were decent, and they were probing, and it's good to see that he's reading the game, so fair play to him. Romero, could Romero have done better for the first goal? Maybe. I can't really recall. This is me asking a question, and it's not even like a rhetorical question. It's an actual question. Could he have done better for the first goal? I can't remember. I was just sort of confused at that point, because it all got a bit messy, didn't it? That's the end of that side of the box. But I think for the most part of the game, he was his usual commanding self, wasn't he? Decent performance from him. Pedro Porro struggled to get into the game in the first half, I thought. But then second half was just pulling the strings, wasn't he? Was really, really giving... he linked up very well with Brennan Johnson. Was really giving Nottingham Forest... Nottingham Forest? What are we talking about? Luton Town giving him a torrid time, I thought. So fair play to him. Phil Mayo says that Italy played in the States, so Vic could be a bit jet-lagged. There you go. Can be pretty much as simple as that, can it? Yves Bissouma, look, maybe it's the malaria. Do you know what I mean? It's recovery. I've never had malaria. Never had to recover from it. I've had COVID once, and that kicked the shit out of me. So, you know, I mean, I know they're completely different things, but still. My point is, like, just doing normal day-to-day things after getting a virus is shit, right? Having to be at the sort of finest of elite margins after having a virus, probably really hard. So, yeah, I'm kind of going to give him a pass for a while. Maybe even until next season. Because he was so good at the start of the season. Pape Matissar, you know he's my boy. You know how much I love him. Little bit quiet today. I feel at times he was a little bit overwhelmed. I can be critical of Pape Matissar, right? I'm not gonna be completely blind to it. I love the lad. I think the sun shines out of his bottom. But not a sort of vintage performance from him today, I didn't think. It's funny, he seemed to be trying to get involved quite a lot in the final third of the pitch today, more so than I think I normally notice from him. And it felt like when he was in those advanced positions at times, he rabbit in headlights is too much. But sometimes it felt like he wasn't entirely sure what he should do with the ball in certain positions. And I don't, to be fair to him as well, I don't think everything was working around him particularly well either. So he can be forgiven for that. But I love him. Start him every game. Star player, star in the making. No complaints here. Timo Werner. Now, I'm on a bit of a journey with Timo. Because the point was made to me by, pretty sure it was Phil, but Phil's not the biggest fan of Werner. He doesn't hate him. He doesn't have like an agenda against him. That's the kind of term people always use. But he's not the biggest fan of his. And I'm pretty sure it was him that said to me, like, because he's taken on board my points, being like, 15 mil, it's a steal for Werner. You know, come on, all this experience and this and that. But I think the point that was made back to me is it's like, that is a point, but we know what we're getting with Werner. He is very good. He's you know, he dribbles well. He gets into good positions. His technique with his shots is startlingly bad at times. He did that thing again where he made a brilliant opportunity for himself. Well, he's almost, honestly, I say he's almost Salah-esque at times. The way he picks the ball up, drives at people, beats them, gets into the box, opens up a glorious angle for himself, and then just whiffs it. And he did that again today, didn't he? When he kind of hit it around the goal. And so the point was made to me as like, he is good. He is decent. He seems like a good character. He's got a lot of experience. However, if we buy him, we spend that 15 mil and they're probably 100 plus grand a week on wages on him. Do we miss out on the opportunity of getting an Idogi, a Vicario, a Pape Matassar, you know? Somebody that we weren't expecting. Somebody where we spent a bit of money on them and then they look like a superstar. Somebody that we probably, many of us couldn't even name right now. And I know people are sort of hoping, dreaming, wishing for like Nico Williams and players like that. But I don't know. I can't remember. I mean, number one, I can't see that happening really for Spurs. I think he's going to go like somewhere way bigger, isn't he? Like PSG, Madrid, somewhere like that. But there are probably other players that fit the profile for us that might be a bit. It's a big gamble. It's a big gamble. I'm not saying bin off Werner. I'm sort of undecided on him now. Where a couple of weeks ago, I was like, definitely spend the money on him. 15 mil, good character, good lad. Loads of bags of experience, bags of talent. If he can start scoring goals again, we're absolutely laughing. It's just so funny to see those early compilations of him, the player that Chelsea and Liverpool kind of battled to sign back in the day, because when he was at Leipzig before, the amount of goals he used to score, and people can say, oh, it's just the Bundesliga. I think that's irrelevant, because regardless of what league you're in, when you're in a certain position on the pitch, you strike the ball in a certain way, right? That doesn't leave you. It's not about that. That's the thing that's changed with him. Because he does all these things of like adapting to the league and things. He does really well. He plays really well in most games, other than when he gets to that crunch point. I know he scored a few goals for us, but I think we can all be honest and say he probably should be scoring a few more, getting into the sort of positions that he does and things. And I guess there is just that creeping thing in my head of, if we've seen all that there is to see from Timo Werner, are we happy with that? Are we happy with having him take some of our transfer budget and take a big chunk of our wage budget? And I'm not so sure I am anymore. Maybe we should roll the dice again and go for somebody else that we haven't heard of. Like I say, that the scouts have found that fits the team. Maybe. I don't know. That feels harsher because I like him. I do like him. And I do think he's a good player. But I hope you see the point I'm making. Dejan Kulusevski, a bit of a day to forget for him, wasn't it? A few weeks to forget for him. But I don't think there's, like I say, as I was saying at the top, I don't think there's much more to it than he's very tired. And I think maybe he suits playing in that central role. I think there is maybe a bigger conversation to be had. I can't remember if I said this at the top or not, about whether or not he might end up being a bit of a casualty of this Ange Postecoglou system, of this team. I'm not saying I want that to happen, but is he going to usurp James Maddison long term? I highly doubt it. Is he that well suited to the right wing? I don't know. I'm not so sure. Depends what the manager thinks. I know I'm not rushing him out the door. I really love Kulusevski. I think he's brilliant. I think he's a brilliant player. I'm just wondering, like I say, whether or not he is the best fit for this system. But he works very, very hard. And I think right now he's just really tired. James Maddison, not a classic performance from him. He was kind of isolated in that first half. Didn't really get much of the ball. He sort of, I can't remember where, somebody said it to me the other day, or I heard it on someone else's podcast. Well, they're saying that he kind of is starting to do the thing that Harry Kane used to do a bit, where he gets frustrated, so drops back and ends up playing in such a deep role that we're then missing him up the top doing the things that we want him to be doing, because he's just kind of trying to take it on himself to drop back and do what he can do. But when we when Johnson's sort of impact in the second half, we started to see sort of again the best of James Maddison. Not the best. I'm speaking like tad sort of hyperbolically. He was sort of being that kind of point man, wasn't he? Knocking the ball about a bit. Clearly still a bit tired. Played an international duty. Bit of an impact sub for England, isn't he? I think he assisted the equaliser for Jude Bellingham against Belgium. So, good on him. I mean, what more is there to say? He's a great player, isn't he? So, Sonny, I thought Sonny was actually all right today. I was going to say not a vintage performance from him, but again, I think a lot of that was down to him not really receiving the ball much. But I felt like he was supposed to be playing up top, but he still seemed to keep drifting out wide. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. And I don't know if that was him doing that or if that's what he'd been instructed to do. And I do know we sort of talk about our front kind of four being somewhat fluid and interchangeable. But I did notice that Sonny was often drifting out wide. And I think he was sort of making stuff happen a little bit. At least he was rattling Luton a bit. They kept sort of blocking a lot of what it was that he was trying to do. But good goal at the end. Well taken, I mean. And this is the difference, right? And I know it's tough to compare Werner to Sonny. Again, it's very unfair to say, why can't you just do like one of the club's greatest ever goal scorers does? One of the best players the Premier League's ever seen. Just do it like him. But there is that difference, isn't there? There are certain positions that Sonny gets into, and in the back of your head, you're like, 99% this is a goal. Timo Werner can get into great positions, and you're still like, 50-50, it's a coin toss. So it's difficult. Devonshire Hill lad says, Timo needs at least 5 goals and 5 assists, then 15 million, he's worth it. He should get an assist for the own goal. Yep, I sort of agree with that. No, because he didn't know. He didn't assist the own goal, mate. It was Johnson, wasn't it? Maybe you're saying an assist because he was putting the pressure on getting into that position. Yeah, okay. Read it that way. Is he better than Solomon? That will be the measure. Yeah, but we seldom get to see Man of Solomon, do we? So who knows on that one. Phil Mayo, Johnson opened up the pitch for everybody, but Maddison getting cards on Burke and Barkley first half helped too. I'm pretty sure that Burke, by the way, he was shithousing us in that first game against Luton as well. I seem to recall that. He really pissed me off in that game. That away leg. You can call it that, can't you? But yeah, he was being annoying again today until he did get booked, and I'm glad the referee did book him, because I felt like he was doing it again. I felt like he was kind of being a bit boisterous, shall we say. Højbjerg came on very good. Lo Celso came on very good, really very good. More of that, please. More of that. I want to see more of that Lo Celso. I want to see more of Lo Celso actually playing for Tottenham. Looks better with the shorter hair as well, got to say. I didn't like his old, like, he always had that sort of weird, Ivan Drago hair, didn't he? Lo Celso previously, but now he's gotten rid of that. Good performance. Richie, it wasn't on for long, really. Brennan Johnson absolutely changed the game. Brilliant. Bentancur, maybe wasn't paying enough attention. I can't really tell you. Couldn't really remember anything that he'd done. I'll bring that to a close there. Just wanted to say up top, thank you to everybody who reached out after the preview pod, the stuff I was talking about on there. A lot of people sharing their own stories who have gone through similar things. Again, I apologize if that's raw and that's, it's hurt you to sort of to go on about that. But it is, I hate saying this because you sound like such an internet person, but I feel so humbled, it is very humbling to, and it restores a lot of faith in humanity that I've received such an overwhelmingly positive and loving, I'm going to say, response from, many of you that listen to this. It really is appreciated. It does restore a lot of faith in humanity, because you do always have this fear in the back of your head that everything you put on the internet is going to be met with cynicism, and I haven't received an ounce of that from anybody. There may be people at home that roll their eyes about it a bit, but that's fine. People do that. But to anyone that does, have that connection, and to anyone that, did feel it and whatever, all your well wishes to me and for Charlotte is very much appreciated. So thank you. It's a tough time, and some days are better than others. That's just what it is. But this is, football. We've got this. I've got this pod that I can do. I don't want to say it helps because I don't like. But do you know what I mean? It takes your mind off of things, and it's good to just chat and shit and talk about darts when I'm supposed to be talking about darts for 15 fucking minutes when I'm supposed to be talking about Luton versus Tottenham Hotspur. I can't even remember what this pod was about, but it's irrelevant, isn't it? It's not what you come here for. You come here for all the other shit that I talk about. But yeah, I do appreciate it. Everybody that has reached out, so thank you very much, and much love to everybody that has experienced similar or is just going through whatever they're going through. We've all just got to be a bit kinder to each other, don't we? I think that's the main takeaway. And I hope in some ways they are, because the internet for a few years has been a pretty horrible place. And I think you do see this disgusting side on X, on Twitter, quite a bit of the time. But I sort of think that little by little, people are, maybe I'm naive, I don't know. People just being nice to me, and that's why I'm saying it. So whatever. Thank you. If you want to listen to more prattling on from me, you can. It's patreon.com/RTRpod. Please do like, subscribe, leave any reviews. If you're listening to this on an audio platform, please do leave ratings. Please do leave reviews. It helps. I'm stealing this. I'm going to give him a free plug for this. Ricky, who does Lads Anonymous, he always says, it's a nice little pod, check it out. So there's a bit of course, it's quite blue, right? I'm going to warn you of that up front, right? They talk about a lot of rude things, so be prepared for that. But it's nice, heartfelt, good podcast, good discussions. Ricky is an expert storyteller, so go for that alone. Lads Anonymous, or Lads Anon, I think, I can't remember. You'll find it either way. At Ricky TFC on Twitter, so you can go out and find him on there. But he always tells everybody to do something where you click a cog and you do an auto download. So if you are listening to this, do that. Do the auto download thing, because what it does is it just helps to boost the pod, get it in front of more people, get more of a buzz, and everyone else can enjoy listening to me and my hackneyed discussions about darts and everything else. But yeah, that's more than enough from me for one evening. I am going to go and watch the Gladiators final. I'm not even taking the piss. I am. No, I'm not going to it. I'm just going to go and watch it on the TV because I've enjoyed that. I'll admit that. I've enjoyed that. I'm twee. I'm full. I'm a 39-year-old twee middle-aged man now. I don't need to pretend to be cool anymore. I'm going to go and drink some wine and watch Gladiators. So much love to everybody. Thank you for the love and support. It really does mean a lot. Come on, you Spurs.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.